Well, my name is Nancy Trogdon, and the class that we're in today, our seminar, is Ladies Becoming Bible Students. Now, first of all, I am no authority on teaching you how to study your Bible. Many of you in here know much more than I do, but it's been a great joy for me to look at this subject in a deeper way for myself, and it's changed, I hope, some of my habits that I kind of go up and down with. We do that as ladies, don't we? But I want us to look, before opening in prayer, at several scriptures. Four. The first one is in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and you won't have any problem remembering this. 2 Timothy 3:16. It's one of those great 3:16s in the Word of God. They're good to memorize and easy to remember. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James, so if your translation is a little different, that's okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And I want us to think about this. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the reason for it is that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Okay, the next scripture, if you would turn to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. As we think about the Word of God and the importance of it, these are just a few verses. There are hundreds. But Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts." And then go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I should have had you keep your finger there. Sorry. One of my favorites. 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15 says, I'm going to use the first few words from the King James because I like it so much. It says, "Study to show thyself approved." But in the New King James, it says, "Be diligent," which studying means that. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." And that rightly dividing simply means correctly handling. And we'll be talking about that. And then one more verse for our verses that will cover what we're studying. Romans 15. Chapter 15, verse 4. It was very difficult to pull just a few verses. Come in. A few verses out to use because there are so many that tells us why we have our Bible and how we should study it. Romans 15, 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope." Let's pray and commit our time to the Lord. Father, we come into your holy presence and we realize how inadequate we are, how weak we are, how frail we are, and how much we need your Spirit to open our hearts this morning to behold wonderful things and to not only hear them and read them, but to obey them. We ask that you would help us do just that, change our lives for your glory and for our good today. For we pray in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This seminar is to remind us as ladies the importance of regular Bible study. Now, I'm going to try not to ask questions that will embarrass you, but through our study, I may ask a few, just for my learning and for my help. as I pass on what the Lord's shown me. You know, in teaching, we cannot give or teach anything that God hasn't shown us. We first must experience from the Word of God how God is working. And will He work in all your life exactly like He's worked in mine? No. We're all so different. He created us different. But He gives us a plan. And that's what I want to say the Word of God is. One of the things that the Word of God is His plan for our life. It's personally for each one of you. Now, doesn't it make you feel special that God wrote a book just for you? It's not only a book, it's a map, it's a guide, it's food, and we'll be talking about all those things as well. So many times ladies don't feel like it's important to be Bible students. They feel like, well, I'm never going to get the chance to teach or preach. You know me, I like to tell stories. So my first little story, I'm only allowed 3 or 4. Rex tells me, don't tell too many stories. When we first came into the assembly early in the 70s from a Bible church, I found out that the ladies don't speak in the assemblies. So Rex told everyone the reason he brought me to the assembly is he found out the women couldn't speak. Some of you heard me say that. Because I love to talk. And but I have not minded at all. It's been wonderful because in our churches, we have some of the godliest men in all the world teaching the Word to us. And we have so much to praise the Lord in that respect. So believe it or not, I'm happy to be quiet sometimes. Sometimes. But this is not true. Our daily reading and study of Scripture is for our personal growth. And so we need to know the Word of God for our own hearts, for our growth, and so that we can pass it on. It's used by the Holy Spirit, as we heard this morning, for the encouragement that we need in our walk with the Lord. And then it's used in a great way as we reach out to other believers and as we witness. We just couldn't do it without the Word of God and the Spirit's help. So a good working knowledge of the Scripture will be helpful when we visit and pass it on, when we memorize it. I know at some of the hardest times in my life, I just lay in the bed and quote Scripture. Many of you know that 14 months ago, I can say now I had the privilege of having a heart attack. The reason that I say it's a privilege is that I learned wonderful things about trusting God and about the importance of knowing the Word of God and being able to lay in the intensive care for 7 days and quote it over and over. My second story. I'm telling too many on my first page. But Jade's daughter, Maura, you know, if you know Chris and Maura, Maura is married to Sam Curran's son. So all these families in the assemblies are connected. You know, you have to be careful what you say because everybody knows everybody and they're related. Anyway, Maura and Beth, Sam's wife, came over to visit me. I was in the hospital in Canada. No, I think they had moved me to Buffalo then. Anyway, I was still really drugged. I could not read. I couldn't see. They had some tubes in me. So Maura and Beth said, what can we do? And I said, will you read the choice gleaning readings in the Bible to me because I can't see them? And I didn't know Beth was having problem with her eyes, so she couldn't see, so Maura had to read it. And if you know Maura, she's just the sweetest, loveliest young lady. So she started reading. And where she was reading, it was about Hezekiah. And God told Hezekiah to get your house in order because you're going to die. And Maura, she's so precious. I looked, and she was just crying. I said, Maura, it's okay. It's okay. If the Lord gives me 15 more years, pray that I'll use it for His glory. If He doesn't, pray that my dying will bring glory to Him. But I thought, that's a terrible thing to ask somebody to read when you're laying in intensive care. But it is a comfort to believers. I would never say read that portion of Scripture to anybody in the hospital on IV. Come in. Thanks for coming. We have some seats right up here. Now, some other verses you can quickly write down in your little notepad they gave you. We won't go to them. We may cover a couple of them as we go. Would be, and I was so thrilled when Dr. Lennox shared this, Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God. That's where we're going to start. And how all the speakers and seminars work together, it's unbelievable. If you could get the tapes and hear how they are. I had no idea. I didn't even know John Lennox. He's such a famous man. I thought, I can't even get near this man. But when he started out, in the beginning, God, I can't believe it. That's where I'm going to start. And then, so 1 through 3 in Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 18, verses 21 through 25. And at your leisure time here, if you have any, please read these. And then Psalm 119, 12 through 18, verse 15, verse 97, and 105. Hebrews 1, 1 through 12. And John 1, 1 through 3. We heard that also. Psalm 119, 11. Now, as we think about the Word of God, the Bible is the greatest of all books. The study of the Bible is the noblest of all pursuits. To understand the Bible is the highest of all goals. Now, I'm going to say that again because I don't know of anything more important than the Word of God. Now, I know a lot of people go online and they have Bibles online, and that's fine. But I'm a book lover, and I hope we'll always be carrying a book, because I've been in places and have seen people that come into meetings that don't have a Bible, and that alarms me. So always have a book, if you can, the Bible, and the most important one. The Bible is the greatest of all books. The study of it is the noblest of all pursuits, and to understand it, the highest goal in our life. It is the top book we'll ever have. Now, I'm going to give you words. I love words and I love letters. We're going to be talking about words and letters. The two words is why and how. We're going to look at why we should study the Bible. In our busy world as homemakers, mothers, wives, single girls, grandmothers, college students, with tons of other things to do, and for the students, subjects you're studying, but none of these are going to change your life like the wonderful Word of God. We all can attest to that. I wish I could go around the room and let each one of you tell just one way the Bible's changed your life today or this week, and it would be thrilling. We'll have to do that in another time. I like to include you talking with me, but we won't have time today. But the first thing with the Bible that you have to do is use it. Use it. The most important and the most difficult part of Bible study is simply opening the book to read it. Now, do you find this true? You can just nod. If you take your Bible out and start reading, what happens? The phone rings. 10,000 things go across your mind. Did you load the washer? Did you unload the dishwasher? Did you make the bed? Did you call this? And on and on, and then we just have to stop and say, Lord, help. Clear my mind. The Bible, some facts that we need to know, it's history. I know you've heard this, but I love it. It's His story. It's about a person. It's our roadmap. It's food for our everyday life. It's light for our walk, and it's filled with love, hope, joy, and promises for now and for all eternity. When we go home to glory, it's still going to be the greatest book. It's God's love letter to us. And you know, it's still the best-selling book in the world. And I'm just astounded with what we're seeing with atheists and what's going on in the whole world. The moral decline so fast, I can hardly believe what I'm hearing. So I went on Google. I don't Google much to find out if the Bible was indeed the best-selling book in the world. And you will not believe. This is thrilling. It shows you that God is great, that God is in control. Every week, 1 million Bibles are sold. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if those 1 million Bibles were read? If they were open to John 3:16 and souls were saved. So that's something to pray for. I mean, that's incredible. I looked back and I kept checking to make sure it was right because I thought, 100, I said 1 billion, didn't I? 100 million. A lot. So why, here's our word, why, W-H-Y, why study the Bible? Just think, what would our Christian life be like without a Bible? We wouldn't have anything to instruct us, would we? Would it make a difference in our life if we didn't have a Bible? What is the Bible supposed to do in our life if we think of why? The Bible is God's intensely personal correspondence to you. I said that before. It is God's written verification that His Son is the way God desires to save our lives. So that's one of the reasons. And Psalm 119, if you'll just turn to Psalm 119 quickly. We know these verses, they're so familiar. Sometimes we know them, but we haven't memorized them. And just remember, what we take into our mind has to go into our heart. We can have all kind of academic knowledge. We can have all kinds of degrees. But until the facts that we read go into our heart, will they come out in our life? They have to go into our heart. And the Spirit brings them out and uses them for our glory, for God's glory, and for our good. In Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man or woman cleanse his way by taking heed according to the word of God? And then go on to verse 11, your word, the word of God, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then go over to verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This psalm, Psalm 119, gives us the ABCs. I said we're going to be talking about words and letters. It gives us the ABCs of why. Why we are to study the word of God. Psalm 119:1 says, and you don't have to turn back there, but if you're there, it'd be great. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. Again, that's the word of God, the law of God. Undefiled means people who are blameless, people who build their lives around God through His word and the knowledge of it. So we're going to go through a few reasons why we should study the Bible. And one, to know God. And that starts right back, takes us right back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. God has always been. God created the heavens and the earth and everything and everyone that's in the earth. So this is why we want to study the Word. Another reason is to love God. And to love Him, we have to spend time in His instruction book, the Word of God. We have to meditate on what He's telling us to do over and over and over again. How many of you have read through the Bible? Have any of you? Did it change your life at all? It does. I just encourage everybody to do it. I used to get to Leviticus and Numbers, and I would cry. I mean, Rex would make me read all those names. I never said them right, and that's okay. And now I actually look forward to that. It's a challenge for me to do it. And it makes me know that God cares about every person and that He has a wonderful plan. When we read those genealogies and we read those names and we read about the children of Israel, He had a plan for them. He has a plan for us, the church. I'm glad that I wasn't part of Israel. I'm glad I'm part of the church, aren't you? It's a little bit easier. Our names are a little bit easier to pronounce in case he writes another Bible. So why study the Bible? To know God and to love God. And to love God means we have to get to know him. When you met your husband or your boyfriend and you knew that you were in love with that person, did you want to know more about him? Yes. And you continue to know more about him, don't you? Those of us that have been married a very long time, Rex, when he's doing counseling, tells the young couple, he says, if you think you're in love now, wait till you've been married 40 years. It is so neat to grow. And that's what God wants in us. He wants us to be so in love with him that we just love him more and more, that we can't get enough of his love letter to us, that we can't read it enough. Don't we go to portions in Scripture and we want to stay there, don't we? The Psalms, Psalm 23, Psalm 1, Psalm 119, all the wonderful, beautiful prayers that David prayed, and we can pray them. So those are just a couple. Next is to know God's Word. The Scripture, as we read already, was inspired by God. It was written by men, but God gave them the understanding to write it just exactly like he wanted it written. And 2 Timothy 3:16 that we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine. Well, what's that doctrine going to do in our life? Doctrine is what's right. That's the truth of God. And for reproof, and that's what's not right. You might want to write this down too. Doctrine is what's right, the truth of God. Reproof is what's not right. For correction is how to make it right. Okay? Instruction in righteousness is how to keep it right. That the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How to help others get it right. Would you like me to repeat that again? Okay. I love this. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, what's right, the truth of God, for reproof, what's not right, for correction, how to make it right, for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped with every good work, and that's how to help others get it right. Okay, you can come up afterwards. I'll be glad to give that to you again. And then we also read 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So we have to know God, to love God, to know God's word. Also, why do we study the Bible? It's to understand it. If we don't study it, we're not going to understand it. Now, we can hear great teachers, we can listen to CDs, we can read commentary after commentary, and you'll find if you read four commentaries, they'll tell you four different things. But to study God's Word, let the Bible be its own commentary. It's wonderful. To understand God's Word, Jesus is called the Word because he is the ultimate communication from God. And that's in Hebrews 1:1-2. That's one of the scriptures I gave you to read later. He existed from the beginning with God. We heard last night wonderful truths on the Trinity. He is God, and he created everything. He said that those who have seen him have seen the Father. That's John 1:1-3. And he said this also, I and the Father are one. John 10:30. Then in John 12:44, Jesus said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And so we have to know God, to love God, to know God's word, and to understand God's Word. I think one of the most important things to understand from God's Word is that Jesus is the Word and that He's living and that Jesus is God. Is that simple enough? The things that I'm sharing with you are simply what the Spirit shared with me, and it is very simple. God made the Bible so a little child can understand it. Many of you in here have taught Sunday school, and to try to stand up and explain to a 3- and 4-year-old the Trinity, you think it can't be done, but it can. You can simply sit an apple up here and explain the Trinity to a child, and you know they won't argue about it. We argue, don't we, about truth in the Bible, but a little child will not. They'll simply accept it, and that's why Jesus said, you must be as a little child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven. That tells me, take His word for what it says. So our next why is to find direction for our life. Don't we need direction? Now, I was thinking when I was saying the Bible's like a road map, I should say like a GPS now. Get with it. Life is changing. Everybody has GPSs. But those GPSs would not work if the Lord didn't make them work. Believe you me. So we need direction for our life. Also, to find comfort and hope. The Scripture is the only place that we are going to find comfort and hope for our life. Also, to let God, this is a hard one, to let God expose our innermost thoughts and desires. His Word helps us to see ourselves as we really are, doesn't it? It's so convicting. It convicts us so that if we have sin in our life, we're going to repent of it. So the Word of God cleans us up for sure. Sure. 7, to let God expose our innermost thoughts and desires. He looks into our heart. We hear that often when someone says, oh, I look terrible, or I've gained weight, or something about our outward appearance. And I always try to say, and older women have done this to me, and I so appreciate it, God looks at our heart. And my other answer to them is God doesn't make any junk. Every one of you in this room are incredibly beautiful. You are. God has made you just like you are. And we're just simply to say, use me. Use me for your glory. Teach me from your word. I'm available. We just heard that. I'm available for my brother. Okay, so those are the whys. Oh, I have a couple more here I need to share. This is good. A why is to become pure and holy. This is a lifetime thing. Jesus prayed this in his prayer in John 17. He said this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. I do not pray for these alone. He's talking about the disciples here. This is the last week of his life. But he says this, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That's the Gentiles. So how to be pure and holy, again, is to be in the word of God, listening to him speak to us. So I'm going to review these again. And I have on my list here 7, but we really have 8. To know God. In the beginning, God, that's what I would say along with that, to love God. And my reason for that is that God loved us first. For God so loved the world, that's all of us. To know God's word, it's his love letter. To understand his word, to know the person, Jesus is the word. To find direction, to show us what to do and how to do it. To find comfort and hope for our life. We're all looking for hope. And then to help us see our inner thoughts so we can change and be more like Jesus, our innermost thoughts and desires. And then the last one I shared, to help us become holy and pure. You know, the Lord Jesus said, be holy as I'm holy. That was a little intimidating to me because I thought, how can we as sinners, saved by grace, how can we be holy? Well, it's not impossible with him, but it is impossible with us. So we just have to say help. You know, that's my shortest prayer, help. Now, we're going to go to our second part. I said I'd give you two words. We just quickly went through the why study of the Bible. We could spend 3 hours just on that one word, but we don't have that time. So we're going to go to the practical side now of how to study the Bible. So we have W-H-Y, why do we study the Bible? Now we have H-O-W, how we study the Bible. This part I enjoyed so much. I was thinking as I was writing these letters out, we have so many letters. You know, we have things like the ER, the ICU, the IRS. We have the CCU. You have to be really smart to know what all these letters stand for. I'm using a lot of medical things there. But I want you to remember W-H-Y and H-O-W. Okay, if you remember those, that'll be good. And then I'm going to give you one more word with three letters in it in just a moment. But how to study the Bible. First thing I want you to do, and I'm doing this at the very same time, because we have a very busy life, all of you do, and I find that the best time for me is in the morning when I first give up. Plan a time to study. Now, what I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to do this because I'm going to try it this week, give yourself a block of time, like say, between. For me, I get up at 5 o'clock. Between 5 and 7. Now, I'm not saying take 2 hours, but it's awesome if you do. All of you that study the Bible know when you start that you don't want to stop, do you? If you're studying or reading anything, if I say 15 minutes, you couldn't do it. I just encourage young women, if they say they don't have time, I said, read one verse a day. Open your Bible and read one verse. You know what happens? Then they'll read two. Then they'll read three. And then they'll say, I read a chapter, Miss Nancy. And that's what happens when you pray and ask the Lord to guide you with where he wants you to read and how he wants you to obey it. So plan a time and then decide on a quiet place, wherever that has to be, a place to study, and make it a daily habit like eating. The Word of God is the only thing that will feed our souls. And if I had to say anything, I would say it's more important than the food we eat. Absolutely. This is spiritual food that will last for eternity. So think of it like you plan regular eating times, don't you? You get up and say, I don't think I'll eat today. Or I don't have time to eat today. I mean, we even eat on the run, don't we? You know, it'd be nice to have little fast food places where we could stop and read the Bible for 20 minutes. Wouldn't that be neat? That's a good idea. I want to think about that. Some people get up early and they spend time with God before work. Others study during the day or in the evening. But the one thing we want to do is give God the best part of your day. Now, my best part of the day is early, between 5 and 7. That's why I've got that blocked out. At 2 o'clock, I'm brain dead. I cannot think clearly after 2 o'clock. I'm tired. But I'm a hyper person, so from 5 o'clock until 2 or 3, I'm going. And if I sit down, that's the end of it. So I read at night, but I don't take it in like I do in the morning. But you give God the best time. He gave you the best, okay? And he gave you the Lord Jesus Christ that saved your soul. God gave you the best. Now, I'm going to use an acrostic. I told you to have another word to help us remember what we've learned today. And we're going to be going to Matthew 7:7. This is an easy one to memorize. You know it before you get there. Our words, our letters are A-S-K. And Matthew 7:7 tells us, ask and it will be given to you. Oh, I'm going to wait till you get there, sorry. Matthew 7:7. How many of you have this verse memorized? I bet a lot of you do. he went to Awana. I'm sure he did. Matthew 7. Well, I know I have Matthew in my Bible. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now I'm going to go on and read verse 8 because this tells you what will happen. For everyone in this room who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. That is pretty powerful stuff. First, we start by asking God to help. We should read God's word prayerfully before we start to read it all. However you pray, if you pray on your knees or you sit in a chair or you stand up or you pray in a car, you pray about any study you're going to or getting ready to do. If any person here understands the word of God, it's because God has revealed it to us, and it's not our ability as readers. I never even went to college. I never went to Bible school. When I first started reading the Bible, I thought, I'll never understand this book, ever. I felt like I was reading a foreign language. But as I began to learn how to study and to pray and ask God by the power of the Spirit to teach me, I started seeing things that I couldn't believe. And I would get so excited. And what helps you in your study, too, is when God shows you those wonderful little nuggets, pass it on. If you pass it on, you won't forget it. You'll remember it forever, just passing it on. Share it with your children, with your sister, with your brother, with your husband, with people on the street. You will not forget it if you pass it on. John 14:26 tells us that we have a helper. We've got a teacher. Did you know that Dr. Lennox has the same teacher we have? Is that amazing? Dr. Gooding has the same teacher. Dr. McHale has the same teacher. And we can learn all the things that we're hearing them say if we're students of the Bible. And we can learn them for our personal benefit. We don't even have to get up there and preach about them. Isn't that nice? But God tells us in John 14:26, if you want to turn there, this is our helper. Remember what the Lord Jesus told his disciples when he was going away? I must go away so the helper can come. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Now, not only teach us, but look what else he's going to do. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And he did that. Just think, because these men went on to turn the world upside down and to write about it. And we think that we forget things. Yeah, we do. But when we need them, guess what? We'll remember them. We will remember if we ask the Lord to help us. So before we start reading the word and studying it, pray. Invite God to speak to you. And don't go to Scripture looking for our own ideas. Go searching for His and ask Him what He wants to show you. Just for that day. We sometimes want enough instructions for a month. And I think that's so we don't have to go back and study again. But we don't want to do that. We need the Word daily, just like food. Okay? Not only should we read it prayerfully, we should read it carefully. Many times, if we know portions of Scripture, we will go through it much too fast and say, oh, I already know that. I know that Bible story since I was a little girl. Read it carefully, and then read it again carefully. Psalm 119:2 says, seek Him with all your heart, with your whole heart. And so our next thing, we ask and then we seek. We heard a lot about that this morning and last night, too. The Bible, again, is the most important letter or book you're going to have in your possession ever. It's a message from the God of the universe. He made you and loves you, and he wants to talk to you. And how he talks to you is through the Word of God. That's the only way God talks to us. So we have to open this letter every day. If you received a love letter from someone you loved, would you read it one time? No, you'd read it over and over again. So that's why the important thing in Bible study is to read and to reread. About 7 years ago, I was asked to start a Bible study with the ladies group in our assembly. Rex and some of the men had been teaching it for years, and it had not even entered my mind that the Lord could use me in this way. And I didn't even know where to begin. So I said to the group of ladies, I'll be glad to do a study with you if we will just get together and read the Word and read it over and over again. And I know that they probably thought I was kidding. So we started with Philippians, one of my favorite books. And for 7 weeks, we read Philippians. That's all we did. And then we would go back, and we would go around the room, and each one would tell what the Spirit showed them. And every time, it was different for each person. And then we started talking about, okay, we've read it, we understand it, we need to obey it. So every person took sections of the book and practice a verse that they could obey. It was awesome. And that began a wonderful ladies group at our assembly of studying the Word, not only as a group, but personally. I have wonderful testimonies from these ladies of how God has worked. And so now we have two studies going on, and my co-teacher's in the room, and I'm not going to embarrass her and tell you who she is. And We are teaching a wonderful book, A Woman of Godliness. And I also have a working lady study on Wednesday night. And we'll begin the first of the year to disciple a young girl, 11 years old. I'm excited about that. So just by reading the Word, these are open doors for me. And God will open those doors for you. I think my very favorite type of discipleship with women and Bible studies is one-on-one. So find someone that says, well, I can't read the Word, and say, let's read it together. And just read it together. And pray and ask and seek the Lord with all your heart. And the Bible says, what? Seek the Lord with all your heart and you'll find him. And so that's what you will be blessed by doing, for sure. So seek him with all our heart. Reading the Bible carefully means what Matthew says. Ask, and it will be given to you. So that's to pray. Seek, and you will find. Seeking means to look for something. And then knock, and it will be open to you. As we seek, we'll see that the Bible is not a newspaper that we skim through, but it's rather a mine that needs to be quarried. If you seek her, Proverbs 2:4-6 tells us this. If you seek her as silver and search for her, talking about the Bible, as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And there are so many verses. Pull them up and see what they are on seeking the Lord with all our heart. Now, I want to show you how, in a practical way, to study the Bible. One more thing, though. When you're studying it, have a notebook. And I put all this out so you can see what I do. This is my prayer notebook, and I just write in it every day, the time, what God shows me, what I've read, and how he spoke to me there, how it affects my life, what I should obey. And the other thing is have lots of pencils. I collect pencils, so I do have a lot of different kind of pencils. Not any kind of special. How I judge a good pencil is the eraser, because I erase a lot. And in our world today, they don't make good erasers. So this is a great one. It's from Office Depot. I have all kinds of colored pens, and I use this for anything about God, the blue. I use the green for anything about growing, and I use the pink for anything about women. These are great. I got these. They probably have them in the book room here because I got these at Gospel Folio. And then in my stocking, Rex gave me some he ordered like this, but they're wonderful. Have a pen. Have a red pen. Anytime I see heart in the Bible, because I want to be a woman after God's own heart, I do a heart there. So you'll see all kinds of things in my Bible. But when we write it down, and when it becomes part of our life, we'll remember it. I don't do a lot of memorization. I have a lot of verses on my treadmill. But because of saying them or teaching them, you will remember them. And they'll be in your heart for sure. Anything worth having requires effort. And Bible study requires effort. To understand the Bible again, I want to say you don't have to be brilliant. But you have to roll up your sleeves and be willing, be diligent to present yourself approved of God. And we know that's what God wants us to do. He wouldn't have left his word here. So, some practical tips for seeking God. Study the Bible a little at a time. This is what I almost missed. Hunger is not satisfied by eating 21 meals in one sitting once a week. Now, how would you like to do that? It's just like food. Our body needs a steady diet to remain strong, and so does our soul. When God sent food to the people in the wilderness, did he send it all at one time? How often did he send food to them in the wilderness? Every day, right? And he sends spiritual food to us the same way. He opens the heavens with just enough food for today. Not more or not less, but exactly what we need today. Let me ask you this already at the conference. Are you being fed? You're being fed today. Are you going to be able to assimilate all of it today? No. You can get the tapes, as the Lord leads you, individual tapes, or get all the tapes. But you'll have to take it in slow. But tomorrow, he'll give you exactly what you need at the conference morning. And then Friday, as you go home, you will start feeding yourself. You're going to be out of the baby stage. You're going to learn to pick up the spoon and feed yourself daily from this book. Okay? I'm going to count on it because I'm going to be praying for you, for each one of you, because I'll have your names that are in the seminar, and I can pray for you that you'll be feeding daily. God provides precept upon precept, line upon line, a little here and a little there. That's kind of like our eating. That's Isaiah 28:10. As you seek, the Lord knows how much you need, and he'll give you just enough for today. Now, don't be discouraged if your reading reaps a small harvest. If you think, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, just keep praying and asking the Lord to show you exactly what he wants for you. Some days you don't need large portions. You just need a wee little bit for that day, and he'll give you that. What's important is that you search every day the Word of God. A steady diet of the Word of God builds a healthy soul and mind, and that's what we want for sure. Now, I have one minute. I want us to do, I think we've got time. We're going to do a little, see, I told you I would get this messed up. I did. I want us to do a little Bible study. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 1. I just want to show you a little way of studying that may be helpful. We're going to read the whole chapter, 1 John 1, and we're going to ask three questions. We're going to ask, what does it say? What does it mean? And how does it apply to me? Okay? There are lots of different ways. I have this chart up here, and they're all good ways to study the Bible, and this is up there. what does this portion of John say? And I'm going to share my thoughts, and I honestly do want some of you to share yours back to me. And then what does it mean, and how does it apply to me? So 1 John 1. First John 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of God. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Now, the three questions. What does it say? Now, I just put one sentence for the sake of time here. I simply said, fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us joy to the fullest. What would you say? Give me some of your ideas, and I'll repeat them for the recording. What does it say? This is fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us joy to the fullest. Any other ideas? Give me your ideas. And there are no wrong answers. Remember, the Spirit's going to show each one of us something different. You're looking at the whole chapter, remember. And see, you can take a verse and do this. You can take a portion and do this. You can take a whole book and do it. I'm just trying to, you know, we need about 4 hours to really do Bible study methods here. So go ahead. That's good. Do you hear that? The presence of his light will drive out sin. So that's what it says. That's wonderful. And then our next question, what does it mean? And I said, his joy gives light because there's no darkness in him. Darkness is sin. Light is life. I think our brother was sharing about this last night too. Darkness is sin and light is life. Any other... I'm just saying, what does it mean? What does it mean to you, this chapter? It talks a lot about sin and light, doesn't it? And life. Right. Cleansing from sin and cleansing, what was the other thing? Right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. We know that we are saved. All our sins are as far as east is from the west. When we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior and his payment on our behalf on the cross at Calvary. But do we stop sinning? No. We continue to sin, so we must be faithful to confess our sins. And he cleanses us. This is another thing that's daily. We need to daily, when we come to the Lord, say, if I have sinned, Lord, forgive me. If I don't even realize what I've done, show me. And that way we can have that cleansing and be pure and holy that we were talking about. Okay, good thoughts there. Now, the big thing, how does it apply to me? Well, what I said is walk in the light, confess our sins daily, and know His forgiveness, fellowship, love, and joy. You think that covers everything we all said? Does that cover it pretty good? You can say no if you want to. Okay. Okay. Walk in the light. How does it apply to me? Walk in the light, confess my sins daily, know His forgiveness, fellowship, joy, and love. And this, as I was doing this, what happens as you study the Bible, verses will come to mind. So Psalm 16:11 came to my mind. And you will fill me with joy in your presence. So knowing God's forgiveness made me think of that verse of joy, because we have that. So these three questions, anytime you're reading a verse, a portion, a chapter, or a whole book, just try these three questions. A good, wonderful booklet to get is by a K author. It's called How to Study the Bible. It's very good. There are two men that wrote a book, Stan, I can't remember his name, and I'll check in the book room and try to find out. There's some good books on how to study the Bible, but ultimately it'll come right down to three questions to ask. What does it say? And you could even say, who is it talking to? But I like to just have three things at the most, because I think when we get too many what, hows, all this kind of stuff, it can get complicated, and I'm not complicated. So, only when we study the Word of God can we have this kind of assurance that we just read about in 1 John 1. And remember that the study of the Bible for us as women is a lifetime of learning. Are we ever going to be able to stop studying the Bible? No. I really believe that throughout eternity, the Godhead, the Lord Jesus, is going to show us wonderful things from the Word that we don't understand. But we will one day understand everything in the Word. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, do I mean or think that when we land in heaven, when we go home to glory, that immediately we're going to know everything? No, I think it's going to be a process, a wonderful process, because we're going to be with Him, we're going to be like Him, and we're going to understand. Now, again, I just want to remind our hearts that studying Scripture is for our personal growth. It's also for use by the Holy Spirit to instruct us and encourage us when we need it the most. So we need to read it to know God, His Word, and our directions in life. We can't get them anywhere else. We can hear the Word of God taught, and we have wonderful teachers today that we can listen to. But there is no way that you will get the food of the Word of God like reading it yourself. You will comprehend so much more when you read it and study it. So, how do we begin the study? We ask. And remember Matthew 7:7, ask, and that means to pray. Seek, that means to read it carefully, like we're looking for gold or a treasure, because it is a treasure. And then knock, well, that's our service. That's how we go out and we knock on doors. That's stretching it a little bit, but knocking would mean that we're going out with what we've learned in the Bible. So we read it again, we think about it, we obey, we pass it on to others, and you are going to be absolutely thrilled to see the Lord teaching you His plan for your life as never before. And I think there was a saying a few years ago that said, just do it. And I think that's what we need in our Bible study. Just do it today. And even in your busy time at the conference, read a verse. I mean, that has nothing to do with the seminars, but just read it, you and the Lord, and ask Him, what does it say? What does it mean? And how does it apply to me? Let's pray. Father, we're again, come into your holy presence. I thank you for the privilege that we've had as women to look into your wonderful word and to know that it's living, It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to accomplish things in our heart, in our innermost being, that only your word can accomplish. Father, open our eyes to behold wonderful things and help us to obey what we've heard today from your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name.